The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
I promise I'll be nice to you, Anthony. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov. One good thing about you, Howard, is that we know when you don't agree. And it's nothing about being nice. I think that being clear in your disagreement is absolutely respectable. Even if you don't agree, that's all fine. I think everybody can agree to disagree. And we certainly see that in spades with what's happening around Israel right now.
All right. So Israel, of course, reaching a very, very grim milestone. Tell us where, tell us where it's at.
Well, unfortunately, we've now reached 4,000 victims of coronavirus. It's not somewhere that we would like to be, something that we would necessarily like to be talking about. January proving to be a particularly grim month, with already something like 600 people having passed away just during the month of January, 80 people just over the weekend. Clearly, things are getting into a situation pretty much like everywhere else in the world, except for the fact that most places are in their second wave of corona infections, and in Israel we're already in our third wave. And alongside that, we also have the vaccination program. Just to put things into perspective, I know we've discussed how many people have been vaccinated. The headlines say more than 20% of Israel's population have received COVID vaccines, which is partially true. More than 2 million vaccinations have been administered. But as Dr. Myberg said, two injections are required to make the vaccination effective. It's not necessarily 100% effective. We don't quite know yet what that means. But as of now, only approximately 100,000 Israelis have received both of the two vaccinations, and then have been able to wait the 7 to 10 day period, which is required after the second vaccination, before which you really become immune to the virus in the way that the manufacturers had intended it. So even though we've had so many people being vaccinated, and we see the ongoing vaccination program really picking up rather than slowing down, many, many people being vaccinated, but still mostly in the first, the phase of the first vaccination. So we hope that over the coming weeks, let's say 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to begin to see that immunization taking hold, particularly amongst the older generation, who are the people who've received the vaccinations first. And then we like to think that it'll show itself amongst the general statistics, with the number of people being infected, and particularly a massive reduction in the number of people who are passing away. Some very, very, very sad stories over the weekend about one man who passed away as a result of his system being disconnected, his oxygenation system being disconnected in the hospital. They didn't realize that it had been disconnected, and the man unfortunately passed away in his 40s. A very, very sad and an unnecessary story. Professor Roni Gamzu, who's Israel's former coronavirus commissioner, who is in charge of Ichilov Hospital, where that particular event took place, has taken personal responsibility, even though it wasn't him on the ward. But he says that as the head of the hospital, he was in tears on TV explaining the story, what happened, and how his staff are really under so much pressure, and how they're trying just to deal with what is a very, very serious and overwhelming situation for the hospital and for the workers. He's taken personal responsibility for this, and has promised that he will do everything in his power to make sure it doesn't happen again. But unfortunately, many other hospitals are saying this event is likely to happen again, given the state of where we're at, given the pressure that people are working under, given the state of, you know, the number of people that are having to be dealt with all at one time, the medical facilities under severe pressure. So unfortunately, things like this are likely to happen when things are under such a lot of pressure. And when we look at the numbers are really very, very worrying indeed, because we see just, you know, these increases in the number of people who are unwell, the increases in the number of people who are being diagnosed with the virus, something like almost 1,200 patients in hospital at the moment in serious condition, over 280 patients on ventilators. And unfortunately, when you look at the infection rates, then you see a massive disparity between different communities within Israel. And that's what I referred to when I said, unfortunately, we just don't have agreement as to how to deal with this, because within the ultra-Orthodox community, we're seeing an infection rate of in excess of 20% of those people who are being tested. And there are massive number of tests being conducted at the moment in the ultra-Orthodox community. More than in some places, more than 20% of those people being tested are being found to be positive. In the Arab communities, that number runs at around 15%, and in the rest of Israel, 5%. So the contrast couldn't be more stark. It couldn't be more clear that some people are adhering to the rules and doing whatever they can, and other people simply are not. And those people are the ones who are really putting such massive pressure on our medical facilities, and creating difficulty for everybody, because inevitably there will be those people who stick to the rules, whatever they can, preserve social distancing. But now with the new variants that we're seeing, which are much, much more aggressive and more contagious, people are going to be infected, and we need to have our medical facilities available for those people rather than for people who are just not adhering to the rules, don't care about what it might do to them, then find themselves in a serious situation as a result of having not stuck to the rules and taking up medical facilities. Unfortunately, younger people, people who have less background illnesses than before, are finding themselves in hospital. So this is a very, very tough battle that's being fought at the moment, until we can somehow get control of it, and hopefully the effects of the vaccination will be coming through a little bit more strongly. Mm.
Which I'm sure it will. It will take a few weeks, but then Israel will be a very, very different place, you know, whereas the rest of us are still fighting it. What you're saying does show, very simply, that if you adhere to the system and to the rules, that that the rate of transmission is a lot lower and can be curtailed. The IDF attacked Hamas targets in Gaza overnight after two rockets were fired from northern Gaza towards Israel. Any idea as to what gave rise to the recent rocket fire?
Not sure, and I don't think there was any particular event that we can point to that says really this is why those rockets were fired. This was kind of an isolated incident in a sense, with these two rockets being fired northwards towards Israel. Both of them landed actually in the sea near to Ashdod, so there were no code red sirens that were activated on this occasion. All was pretty quiet. Fortunately, those two rockets landed in the sea, didn't risk any property, didn't risk any individuals. And so fortunately on this occasion, all relatively calm and peaceful and quiet. Having said that, however, the IDF is determined not to allow any action to go without a reaction. And they did take the opportunity to strike some tunnel excavation workshops belonging to Hamas, where the IDF were in action overnight, and they did attack these Hamas targets, and made a statement saying that any attempt to fire rockets towards Israel will come with a response. More than that, we don't really know who was involved, who were the people who decided to fire these rockets, and why they decided that last night would be a good night to do so. There are a number of things that are happening in the background, and very frequently these rockets are used to try to indicate some sort of dissatisfaction, some sort of a response to an event which may not even include Israel, may not even involve Israel, may not even be of Israel's volition. And yet, this is just their way of expressing dissatisfaction. We know that the U.S. Regime will change during the course of the coming week. Perhaps that would be an activating issue. I'm not sure. We heard that the Palestinian Authority would like to run elections later this year. I'm not quite sure if Hamas decided that that would be an opportunity, or maybe not even Hamas. It might have been renegade groups operating within Gaza. Unclear. What's important is, fortunately on this occasion, that nobody was injured and there was no damage done to any property. But of course, every time a rocket is fired, it presents a risk. And so Israel feels that it is absolutely required to respond to each and every rocket that's fired.
Yeah, it's just the ongoing circular story, which is just so incredibly, incredibly tiring for everybody, I would imagine. The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas announced on Friday that parliamentary and presidential elections will be held in the coming months in the Palestinian Authority. What do we know about this? I mean, this is the first election in like 14 years or something.
So the last presidential election was when Mahmoud Abbas actually was elected to succeed former PLO chairman Yasser Arafat, which was held in January of 2005. So actually 16 years ago. And the last parliamentary elections were held in a year after that, in January 2006, which ironically produced Hamas as the victors in that particular election. And then, of course, the decision was made not to honor the election victory by Hamas, and Fatah effectively retained hold of the Palestinian Authority in spite of that election result. Since then, nothing. Mahmoud Abbas is now into his 17th year of his four-year term, and he has come under some pressure, particularly from the European Union, from other international parties, to hold these elections. It's not clear whether Abbas would actually stand in these elections, whether he seeks re-election after his 17-year term in office. He is 85 years old. He's known not to be in the best of health. And so it is not clear whether this is his attempt to try to stand aside and to allow some younger faces and some newer candidates to come in to contest this election. Immediately after the announcement of the election, there was some speculation as to whether he really meant to announce the election and whether he really meant that an election will take place. But he did mention dates for the elections. He mentioned that the parliamentary election will be held on May the 22nd and the presidential election on July the 31st. So dates were actually set. I'm not quite sure if they're feeling a little bit jealous at the elections that the Israelis are managing to go through in such numbers, and whether they feel that they're missing out on something. But it is going to be interesting to see whether these elections take place. And of course, what's going to be equally as interesting is to see what the Biden administration response to this is, because this may well be a ploy to somehow get on the right side of the Biden administration before the new president takes office later this week, and just an attempt to kind of, you know, start out on the right foot. But it's not clear from the way that things stand at the moment that these elections actually will take place. We understand that a meeting has been called in Cairo for later this week to include Hamas and Fatah to discuss the upcoming elections. So the Egyptians, I think, are really intent on trying to do whatever they can to encourage these elections to take place. Time will tell, I guess.
I guess it certainly will. Anthony Wright, thank you. As always, it's just gone 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.